Before we continue, what do we already know about gardens and plants in Jewish literature? Person sees a plant. What are they supposed to see? So, most of us, good. But if we're not that advanced, what we see is green, which is very superficial. No less superficial, you'll excuse me, than when Esav walks in and sees Yaakov's soup, lentil soup, and says, give me some of that red stuff. So we look at a green tree, it's green! What do you want me to see? Yeah.
Well, every time I look at a tree, I think of the benefit a tree gives for me for life: photosynthesis, chlorophyll. Without the tree and carbon, oxygen and carbon dioxide, I wouldn't be here.
Perfect. When a person sees a tree, there should be a twofold message that comes. One is the glory of creation. Every plant is a massive chemical reactor. If we wanted to do physically man-made that type of chemical reaction, it would take us more than a city block to do what Hashem does in every little plant like nothing. And the second thing is that Hashem had me in mind. When you take an apple, we don't just see ourselves as jumping on the bandwagon. Hashem made apples for all the other people, so I don't have to bother thanking. I'm just taking a stray apple, right? No. I take an apple in my hand, I make a bracha, borei pri ha'etz. Hashem, when you created the universe and you created apples, you had me in mind also. I'm not so haughty to say, you know, you had only me in mind, but you had me in mind also. And I'm thankful for it. That's the normal knowledge that a person has when they see a fruit tree. We're told that a person should pray in a place that has a window. Gemara tells us, it's brought in halacha, pray in a room that has a window in case you start losing concentration. You could always look outside the window, see a tree, and right away you'll recognize the majesty of the Creator, and you'll be so inspired that you'll go right back to your prayers with new enthusiasm. Again, if you see in a tree green, so I mean, that's nice, but that's not even touching the message of what you should get from a tree, just on basic Judaism.
For some reason, I thought you weren't supposed to pray near a window. You weren't supposed to pray outside. Where did I get that from?
Good. We don't pray in front of a window because we're not looking for the distractions and we're not looking for a mirror. A window sometimes gives us our own reflection. But it's brought that the room should have a window. So you can look up. Sometimes, nowadays, they put the windows higher than normal eye level. So if a person wants that inspiration, they would have to lift themselves up to the side to see it. But not in a way that would distract those who are paying attention. Good. Rav Luria says that what you'll get from a garden is that there are other forms of enjoyment in Hashem's creation besides eating, drinking, and physical sensation. A person living in this world is blinded. How do you gain enjoyment, pleasure? Either because you're touched in a certain way, those types of sensations, and you have pleasure, or you eat, drink, and you're getting gastronomical pleasure on the inside. It's very hard for us to tune in to other forms of pleasure. Says Rav Luria, you'll take a walk in a beautiful garden and you'll start understanding that there are other forms of pleasure, and you'll be able to tune in to what the Gan Eden of the future and what reward is all about. Take a look at a beautiful flower. Wow! That's gorgeous! And the one next to it, identical. An artist couldn't have done such a beautiful job. Where's your joy coming from? I didn't eat anything. Nothing touched me. What's the joy? The joy is from seeing. Wow, I didn't know there was that type of joy in the world. Yeah, remind yourself. What about smelling? Besamim, scent. Very powerful. The Gemara, in fact, says that the reason we make a bracha on besamim, for example, by Havdalah, so by Havdalah we're doing the besamim because it's scent. Besamim brings comfort to the soul, and the source to make a blessing generally on besamim is the pasuk Kol Hanashama Tahalel Ka. The soul, when it benefits, should praise God. The soul, when it benefits. Scent is not a physical enjoyment. It's a soul enjoyment. And the same thing is our other one of the five senses, hearing, music. The joy of music. Nothing touched me. I didn't eat anything. Why do I enjoy it? There is a higher form of enjoyment. Tune into it. Quote number 7. Kosha litzayir, it's very hard to envision eich yitochin tainuk zulas achila ushasiya v'anoas chush hamishush. It's very hard to appreciate a joy besides eating, drinking, and sensations. Omno mehanimtza hazeh, from this item of creation, the Gan Eden of your community, your backyard, Vu Gan Eden mole pirche chemed kolil toktor. It has beautiful flowers and has good scent. Yeda kolish benafsho, a person can appreciate eich lo sispa mishaf haruach, how could a person not get turned on by other types of sensations? What's so challenging here? The Rambam writes that the ultimate reward is that tzaddikim sit with crowns on their heads, nehenim miziv hashechina, benefiting from the heavenly glow. Now, you tell me that, and I'm waiting for my hamburger. I'm going to sit with a crown benefiting from the glow? What are you talking about? But if you take a walk in a Gan Eden, if you take a walk in a park, and you sensitize yourself that there is such a joy of sight, of environment, there are other sensations, then you can get tuned in to what we're talking about. Rav Noach Weinberg has a beautiful presentation, Different Catalysts for Happiness. The lowest, for example, is to eat a good meal. That's the lowest form of joy. A higher form of joy would be to do it with a relationship. You join somebody, you have a relationship with them, it could be with the food, it could be without the food, you have a relationship with somebody, that's a higher form of joy. An even higher form of joy would be an act of altruism. Take an example. Guy goes on a trip, a vacation to New York, goes on a cruise. In the middle of the cruise, a child reaches over too far and falls into the water. This guy knows his stuff. Somehow, he jumps into the water, saves the child. He had a very good steak the night before for dinner, and he had a very good meal that night for dinner. What's he going to remember from that vacation?
Jumping in and saving the kid.
I saved someone's life. An act of altruism is a much higher form of happiness. But what happened? No one touched me. No one did anything. I didn't eat anything. There are higher forms of pleasure. An even higher form of pleasure is connecting with Hashem. But it's very hard to tune in to connecting with Hashem unless we do some of the interface steps and appreciate that, hello, we're blind. We walk around trying to stimulate ourselves and don't realize that there's a whole realm of stimulation that we're not tuned into. The sensations, smell, hearing, and sight are the higher sensations. They are interface sensations between us and Hashem. Rav Luria goes so far as to say that you will never find in the psukim that Hashem is said in an analogy of enjoying something like eating and drinking, because that would defeat the purpose of the analogy. We're trying to get human beings to elevate their perspective and start tuning in that there are greater forms of joy besides physical. The sensation that would be used as an analogy to Hashem would be Vayorach Hashem es reach hanichovach. Hashem smelled the pleasantness. Because smelling at least tunes us in that this is a joy. Obviously Hashem doesn't have nostrils and he's not smelling, but it tunes us in that this is a different type of joy. It's like the joy of a parent where the child succeeds. Hashem watches the human being succeed. He enjoys it like besamim. Not a physical joy. Try to tune yourself in that there are other joys. There's nachas in the world.